From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made when a single mother suffered a devastating seizure. Now, some of the seizures that Sarah Wittberg had suffered were tough, but this one nearly took her life. A 22-hour seizure. And just imagine what a parent with a 2-year-old daughter would do. If you don't know what to do in that spot, you might not even survive a seizure. Who is going to help? Well, there's an organization called the Crisis Nursery that stepped in. They're part of the Center for Youth, and they were able to provide childcare so she could seek treatment and recovery. And that is just part of the story. You're going to hear much more of it from Sarah herself coming up. And she is just one of our guests this hour as we get ready to talk about Fashion Week, which is coming back this fall. The beneficiary, the Center for Youth, they put the spotlight on youth homelessness and the needs of children and families in our community. They've got big plans, not just for Fashion Week, for what they do to serve our community, and they've got big goals as well. So let's talk about it with all of our guests in studio. Sarah Wittberg is the mother I mentioned. It's great to have you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
No, very good. And thanks for being willing to share your story. I know they appreciated the Center for Youth and Crisis Nursery, and that's Elaine Spalls Bailiwick. She's a member of City Council and also Executive Director of the Center for Youth. Welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Evan. I'm good. Happy to see you.
Ready for Fashion Week?
Ready for Fashion Week. You can't see how cute I look. It's his radio.
But it's assumed with you, Elaine. It's always assumed. Megan Mundy is the chief fashion organizer for Fashion Week of Rochester. Megan, welcome back. Great to have you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Great to be here again.
And also here is Effie Yomi, who is a fashion designer here with us as well. Effie, welcome to you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right, Elaine, you got Fashion Week coming up, and we're going to hear, I think, the kinds of stories that help illustrate why we do this. But we also do this for a lot of fun. So part of what we're going to do this hour is work through the schedule of all the things that are coming up. But take us back to the beginning. It's all the way back to 2010 now.
2010, we were in our 8th year, and who knew? Who knew that back then we had 2 runway shows, and we're hoping that people showed up. And what we saw was an energy and an interest and a creativity that sparked the interest, and it's grown and grown and grown. And I'll tell you, it's a Rochester story, Evan. If you ask me, it's a perfect Rochester story where people come together to celebrate beauty, fashion, creativity, talent, all the good things in support of and to raise awareness of a troubling issue, our youth homelessness and our little crisis nursery. Now, you know, we're opening a second crisis nursery. I bought a new crisis nursery on Rosewood Terrace in the Armappy catchment area on faith, knowing that Fashion Week would help me. Had some big donors help me purchase it, but now we've got to keep it going. And you're going to hear from Sarah and then also about Fashion Week. It's going to be a wild week. Get ready. I'm not sure what you'll be wearing, but we did talk about your leather vest. Remember your leather vest? I don't know where it is.
Leather vests?
Was it a leather vest?
Are there leather vests in style these days?
Well, you have to ask Meg Mundy. But
leather vest?
She's making a face.
I don't know. Wear your leather pants instead.
Leather pants.
Leather pants.
I don't know if I leather anything. Maybe leather shoes. But, by the way, what is this thing here? Like,
that is a super igloo, super tent, super structure that we are creating, erecting, starting next week.
All right, so hold on, back this up because this is radio. So
this is radio.
Listener,
describe
she's describing
it.
The structure that looks. What does it look like to you?
It looks like a spaceship. And Meg has seen it sort of in person. It's a different fabric than we've used. It's clear, and it's shaped like an igloo, really, right, Meg? And you saw it in New York City.
It's
in
like
Bryant
a large
Park.
Igloo. It's all clear. It's very elevated ceilings. It's like being inside a clear igloo with it. It just feels so open because of the clear sides. And we had to take it up a notch. So Hank Parker, Tents and Events, brought this forward to me. And I thought, oh, my God, we've got to do it. So here we are taking on this new adventure.
Yeah, never before seen in Rochester. I don't think it's ever before seen outside of New York City and maybe a wedding, a fancy pants wedding in Detroit. People are going to start to notice this. The Midtown Athletic site, which is on the very edge of our city on East Highland, still in the city, but you can see it from 590. It's going to start going up next week. And you're going to see this going on. And Rochester deserves this. Meg talked me into it. And I said, okay, you know, I'm always worried about costs and energy, and there's nothing quite like this in Rochester. So It's another level, and our kids deserve it, and that's why we're doing it.
So you'll start to see this going up as the home of Fashion Week right across in that lot across from Midtown Athletic Club
Exactly. Next
week. So they got about a month before it starts, because Fashion Week starts Tuesday, October 10th,
yes.
And it runs through Saturday the 14th.
Yes. Before that, we have one other event. It's called Wheels and Deals and Maybe Some Steals. It's our boutique crawl, but we're going to actually get people in limos and women all over this community shopping, which is such a great thing. I hope your wife has your credit card ready. And
why is it that the woman has to have the man's credit card, Elaine? It's 2017. It could
she
be
has her own
around.
Credit card.
It could be the other way
but
around.
She may, and you might want to come and shop. You're right.
Could be the man
You're
wants
right.
the woman's
credit
card.
And you'll be wearing leather pants. So let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Okay. Sometimes I think, you know, where did you grow up, Elaine? Did you grow up here? Where are you from?
From Irondequoit.
Okay, so sometimes I think that, like, you felt like you were destined to be in Manhattan, and it didn't happen, but you're bringing Manhattan here.
Well, that's exactly what Meg told me. She is a Manhattan girl, New Jersey and New York City girl, worked on Fifth Avenue and moved to Rochester with her family and said, I'm going to bring, but you know what? Fashion Week of Rochester is better than Fashion Week of New York, Paris, and Milan. You know why?
Come on.
We're raising money for homelessness.
Oh, well, okay.
There's
well, that's
no
true. That is
other
true.
Event
no, I'm
quite
with you
like
there.
This, right?
I'm with you there.
This is
and
not just about pretty faces.
Also, I think for me, being a transplant here in Rochester, I moved here from New Jersey, but commuted to New York City and worked in fashion for 15 years. And I moved to Rochester, and I just thought it was the best city in the world. But I felt as though people were a little apologetic. Like, they would say, oh, I wouldn't wear that in Rochester. I'll wear that when I go to Vegas. And it kind of spurred this thought, like, you should look good where you live. Let's celebrate this city. There's so many wonderful things. And you can feel the energy growing here with lots of young millennials moving back. And for me, it was wanting to celebrate the city and just make it really fun and chic. And it is.
So you Rochesterians feel like they can't pull it off here, but maybe if they travel, they can wear something?
That was the reaction I was getting. I was working as a stylist and going into people's closets and helping them put together outfits. And I would say, oh, this is a beautiful dress. Where do you wear this? And that's where they would say, oh, I wouldn't wear that here. And, you know, I guess weather can be a little restrictive, but still, you can wear your snow boots and walk into a black tie affair and slip into a gorgeous pair of shoes and still be just as glamorous as if you were walking into the Metropolitan in New York City.
Hmm. Well, okay, see? Well, then I've got a lot to learn this hour when it comes to fashion. Before we get back there, let's talk about who is going to be helped by this. And we're going to get to Sarah's story in just a second. But Elaine, remind our listeners what the Crisis Nursery is.
So we have a little house on Genesee Park Boulevard and another one now on Rosewood Terrace, which welcomes families who are in crisis. And the crisis can be a medical crisis like Sarah's. In fact, about 40% of our families are facing a medical crisis of a child or the mother or father. We're taking in 2016, 1,065 babies. Our youngest was 3 days old, a little baby twin whose brother was having surgery. So we took the baby, the little teeny baby, 3 days old, while the other child was being served. Often it's emergency child care, and just in that moment, your child caregiver is not around and you don't want to miss work. We've had stories of families who have left their families, children at Eastview Mall. We've heard about that. We step in and actually have connected with many families who may have left their kids and their babies, young ones. About 95% of our kids are under the age of 8. They're small, they're young. And we know that families can, in that moment, just not know what to do. And we're there, and we're free, and we are low barrier. I mean, we want to know all we can about the family, the child, the health of the family, special needs, but not a lot of questions, and nobody pays, and we're there. And families have been with us off and on. We've had families who have had children where they have an older sibling facing cancer, and we will watch the other sibling. Families who are at Ronald McDonald House, you know, cannot leave their children there during the day by themselves. Families who are at Golisano Children's can't leave babies there while they're serving another child. So we have become that place, the safest place, the best place. It's charming. It's just a charming place, a loving, kind place. And we're adding this second nursery because we're turning babies away. And we knew that the east side was hard to access. The west side was hard to access for our east side families. So we're making it possible for them to get to us very, very easily. And we're so blessed. I've been so blessed to live in a community We have 50 active volunteers, another 50 joining us for the new house. I'm not sure people realize what Rochester really is made of. Well, I'm not sure.
And this second location on Rosewood Terrace, is that open yet?
It's not. Okay. Today and tomorrow, there's a full sprinkler being put in. Obviously, safety is really a concern, so we've got some work to do. My goal is to have it open by December 1st. It'll be like a Christmas gift to us all. It takes a lot to get a shelter ready. State compliance, safety comes first, so there's some work to do.
Okay, well, yeah. We'll learn more about what the money is going to support specifically, because last year, you know, after expenses, you cleared $400,000, is that right?
We did. We did, and we're hoping to increase that even. That super-duper structure you saw is a bit more expensive, but that's okay. It's the cool factor is going to bring in more money. So
more people, more money?
Yeah, more people, more money. Our goal is about $700,000 with about $200,000 in expenses. People donate a lot, and sponsors are stepping up. But it's pretty remarkable because there's a team of five that puts on Fashion Week. Megan, her assistant Amber, who is amazing, and myself and two others from the center who have other jobs. So there's a very slim staff, and we pull it off. And we start to panic about this time, but I think we're good, right, Meg?
I think we're good.
We're good.
I mean, it's our eighth year. We've got our systems down. We've got a lot of fabulous models that just know the drill and just show up. But still, yeah, if you didn't panic, you wouldn't be challenging yourself. And we're challenging ourselves again this year with this tent because we've never worked in it before. And so, but that keeps it exciting and keeps it fresh.
Who is building the Intergalactic Igloo?
Hank Parker, Tents and Events.
The Berardi boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're building it for us.
And they were just out with a structure similar to this out at the VMAs in L.A. And that is being sent to us. The structure is being sent to us on a flatbed right now. It should arrive tomorrow. So it's going to be exciting.
So we're kind of like Hollywood, Evan. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We're kind of like Hollywood.
We're talking about Fashion Week of Rochester, which is coming up online where, Elaine?
Fashionweekofrochester.org.
Fashionweekofrochester.org for the schedule. We'll go through that schedule coming up.
Yeah, and tickets go on sale in about an hour, by the way.
Oh, we're
launched. That's why we're here. We'll launch our tickets.
So today's the day.
Today's the day.
Fashionweekofrochester.org. And the people who benefit from places like the Crisis Nursery are people like Sarah Wittberg, who... So, Sarah, let's talk a little bit more about your story. Your daughter is now four, you said.
She's 4 years old now,
Is this pre-K? Are you doing the pre-K thing?
Next week?
My son's five. Took him to school today for the first full day.
Man. How'd you feel?
Oh, I was a mess.
Oh.
He was great. I was nauseous. I was hanging around like, we just leave now? Why are we leaving?
My daughter's ready. She's got her first day of school outfit. Yeah. She's got her bang cut appointment. She's ready to go. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great stuff. And so let's talk about how you ended up with Crisis Nursery because, you know, I imagine as a parent, did you even know what Crisis Nursery was?
No.
Yeah,
no,
most
I did not.
Probably
no,
don't
I
until
did
they
not.
Need it.
No.
So what happened?
Ooh, well, I mean, it's kind of a complicated story, but to start off with it is I have a disease that's progressive called multiple sclerosis with seizures. I've been used to the seizures. I've had them before. They've been harmful to me, and I have hurt myself before, but they've never really done what they've done to the point where the Crisis Nursery had to step in.
Yeah, and before I... ask you a little bit more about that moment. Take me back a little bit, because for most of us who don't have seizures, we don't really know what that's like, and I think sometimes there is an image in our mind of what that is, but it might not always match reality. What was a seizure? What are seizures like for
you? I'm going to guess that whatever image is in your mind, the horrible image of all the foam and the eyes and the rolling and the hitting, and it's exactly that.
Oh.
It's scary for everybody else, but for the person having the seizure, me, I'm completely unaware of it. Okay. I'm in a different plane.
And it just grabs you and hits, and that's... And you're sort of...
Grabs me and hits me. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes my friends who have picked up on my signals understand that I'm about to have one, and they'll kind of rush in like my pillow. I'll make weird phone calls. I'll order things online and tell people about it. And I don't know what, like hundreds of dollars worth of vitamins type thing. And that all happens.
Can't you at least order something cool?
Yeah, like I wish it was something cool, right? But something happens in the pre-seizure state where my brain starts to go bubbly. And at that point, I have no control.
Okay.
And then it goes into a grand mal. And that's the pictures that are in your head.
Okay.
The only thing that hurts me about that is afterwards when I start recovering and I notice the chipped teeth or the missing pieces of tongue or the bruises I've given myself. But to tell you the truth, when you have something like MS, the best thing is a good attitude and you just accept your new normal and learn how to live within that new normal. My support system is amazing. My mom and dad and sister and my friends. And the crisis nursery is a huge part of that support system. So can I say that it's a bad life? I don't think so.
No,
just the bad thing that I have to deal with daily.
And when was your diagnosis of MS?
My diagnosis was about 7 years ago. And it was diagnosed, ironically, because I had a grand mal seizure. They thought I had epilepsy. But after all their fancy doctor tests, they said, nope, it's this, not that.
Do you remember knowing anything about MS and what you felt like that meant for you at the time?
Yeah, I thought I was going to die, and I thought I was going to be in a wheelchair, and I thought my life was over. And it's taken many years to realize that that's not the case. Anything I knew about MS was, in my head, it was just a mystery disease where people died and were in wheelchairs.
And then becoming a parent, becoming a mom, did that scare you at all?
100%.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. It scared me. I immediately realized I couldn't give her the same things that other parents can, whether it be financially because of my state. Physically, I can't go out and do these hikes and camping and all those things. But she's learned, she loves me anyways, you know? And she says, Mom, it looks like you need a nap. I think I'm going to go color now.
That's amazing.
She loves me for who I am. And she accepts my disease. And she's one of the very few in my life, other than my family, that looks at me for me. And it's really beautiful. My daughter's great.
That is really beautiful. And she's only four.
She's only four. She's amazing.
I mean, all the things we could learn from a four-year-old. Like
yes.
That is beautiful. But back when she was two, you know, it's one thing to have a grand mal. And again, I'm not the doctor here.
Mm-hmm.
But I still suspect a 22-hour seizure is unusual, right?
Yes. They have a special fancy doctor name, status epilepticus. It sounds funnier than it is, but what it is, what it means is that you're just keep cycling into a state
can't
of seizure.
Get out of it?
You
yeah.
can't get out of it. You can't get out of it. And it was at that point, after I think about 15, 16 hours, I don't even know. The story was told
you're
to me.
Out again. Like, yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah.
There was one moment that I did have an out-of-body experience. I saw myself on a table with my arms and legs strapped. I saw myself without clothes on, and I saw myself biting my father. That was the only moment from the seizure that I remember. I remember my best friend calling me when I woke up, screaming, oh my God, I thought I was driving here to help you die. She thought she was coming home to help me die. My parents were faced with that decision as well. A possible death would be on their hand.
Because at a certain point of the cycle, the doctors are telling your family, we don't know if we can stop it. We don't
yes.
know if she's going to live.
Yes. I think it was just a mixture of everything inside of me and everything outside of me that brought me out of the seizure. Maybe it was my daughter. Maybe somewhere back in the head, something said, wake up, Sarah, wake up. And I did. I did not let her come to the hospital because it was very scary. When I woke up, I couldn't say my name. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. But I knew my daughter had to be taken care of because all of my people were taking care of me. And that's when Faith came by from the crisis nursery. I remember her because of the way that she walks. And I remember that I walk like that sometimes, too. And for some reason, that was just the connection that I made immediately. And I immediately loved her because she was same, if that makes sense.
Sure. Something familiar.
I didn't know anything else, but she held my hand, a stranger. She held my hand and she said, "We're going to take care of your daughter so that your parents can take care of you. Something bad happened to you." There's legal procedures that I had to do that I couldn't do. And she helped me. "Can you sign this piece of paper?" No, I couldn't. Can you nod your head? Yes, I can. And from that moment on, the crisis nursery was a communication point, a communication hub for my parents. I believe so, right, Elaine? Like, mm-hmm. What happened to me at that point? Please fill in those blanks for me.
So, you know, I'm just I remember this, obviously, and we have to have parents because it's voluntary. Everything that happens at the center, even our homeless, are voluntary. So we had to have a voluntary admission. We knew we wanted to help, but we had to have someone say yes. And because she was awake, even though she was not completely alert, she was the only one who could give us consent. Mm-hmm. So Faith shows up. Meanwhile, I want to change my name to Faith. I mean, is that the best name ever?
Actually, right? Didn't even know if she was talking about a person or something.
She's a person. Faith. She's a person. Faith, yeah. And then Faith. Yeah, and she really is an angel. So she shows up and she stands there holding her hand saying, don't worry about anything. We're taking care of Pearl, but we have to give consent. All Sarah could do was blink her eyes like that. She couldn't speak. She couldn't walk. She couldn't sign. And we took over from there. And then we coordinated all of her care. And she was with us as long as she was with us. She happens to be at the nursery right now, by the way.
Yeah, my daughter Pearl is at the nursery right now, actually.
Yeah, she's at the nursery. she's a regular. She's a regular.
They love her there. She just walks in.
Yeah. And every time.
Like Fabio just walks in. Yeah. Like the airwaves hit her, and she's I'm here, you guys.
Yeah, and she is a little diva, too. And Meg, we got to cast her next year because she's a diva. But we, every time Sarah has an infusion, for example, she brings her to us. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Faith often talks about is that when a mom or dad or a grandma, whoever the caregiver is struggling, often there's a need for family to take care of that person. So Sarah's parents, she has parents.
Yes, amazing parents. Mom, Dad, I know you're listening. Yeah. I love you both. Thank you.
Yeah. Aww. I mean, the best parents, but they're her parents and they're also grandparents, but they were so worried about Sarah that they didn't want to leave her side. So we took care of Pearl. And it really is a story of enormous resilience. This is a very special person, a very special child. But we have dozens and dozens of families mm-hmm. like this who have no place else to go. And in that moment, the hospital can't care. No one can care for them. And we're there. And it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Every time I walk into your nursery with my daughter, there's just 5 to 6 children. You forget that each one of these children, the stories behind them is something traumatic. Right. They all have smiles on their faces. They all come running up to you. They all say hi. They've all got some type of tasty treat or some type of fun toy. And you kind of have to not make up the stories in your head, but you have to understand that they're there because something horrible is happening. And now the world that they're in, this bubble that they're in, that horrible world isn't touching them at that moment.
What an amazing way to describe it. For you, even though you could only just nod your head or blink, did you at least have awareness that, okay, at least Pearl's going to be okay?
I did. Another memory I have is a stubborn moment on my part as a mother. I want my daughter here. She needs to see my disease regardless. I had her come to the hospital, and she freaked out. She started screaming and crying, and that's when I said, gulp, I need to accept help. And it's a conversation Elaine and I had on the way over here is the power of help and the power of being able to say you need help. So they taught me a little lesson in that, too. A lesson on how to be a grown-up is learning how to say, I need you.
Yeah, and I need some. And so how long in that initial stay for Pearl at Crisis Nursery, how long was that?
I remember my recovery being months and months, so my memory is so blurred from that. But I know that Pearl was heavily involved in their nursery for months and months. And now that I've recovered and I've learned new MS management techniques, my need for using them has become less and less. But my respect just keeps growing.
And now here she is just hanging and sort of regaling them probably.
Yeah, I mean, like they know all about it. Sarah, we're coming to pick you up. I got no gas in my tank. We're going to rush over here.
Oh, that was me saying I have no gas in my tank, by the way, Sarah. No.
But regardless, they come and get me. They come and pick me up. They make us feel important, just the same way that I can only assume they make every mother or father feel important when they walk in.
Sarah's story is part of the story of the Crisis Nursery, which is now, what, 45 years old, Elaine Shaw?
No, the Crisis Nursery is actually relatively a new program.
Oh, Center for Youth.
Center for Youth is 45 years old.
That's what I get backwards. I'm sorry.
And I'm 45 years old, too.
I didn't. Yeah. I never talk about age.
Thank you.
Institutions, I do.
Yes,
45 years old is the Center for Youth, which runs the Crisis Nursery, which now has, opening, they hope, in December, a second location. If Sarah's story is compelling to you, they've got Fashion Week of Rochester, fashionweekofrochester.org, coming up in about a month. And tickets go on sale at the end of this hour, essentially, if you jump online and start checking out the events. And in our second half hour, we're going to work through some of what is coming up there. But if you are successful with that week a month from now, you're going to raise roughly $500,000, and you're going to do what with it?
We're going to keep the current Crisis Nursery open. I mean, honestly, it costs about $175,000 to $200,000 to run a shelter 24/7, and lots and lots and lots of kids and food and babies and staff that is highly trained, med certified. You don't mess around. So that means that I don't have any revenue from state, federal or local government dollars. We have a small United Way grant in our current shelter. We're going to open the second shelter on faith. We have foundations helping us, individuals helping us. Fashion Week will open a second Crisis Nursery and save our families. And also it will keep our New Beginning shelter, our shelter for young men, 16 to 21-year-olds. 8 of them live in apartments. And that is also a program that is not funded by any government agency or United Way. So we've got our work cut out for us. We refuse to say no when it comes to expansion and shelters. And we found a way, we found a formula that also just supercharges the city in a way that is remarkable.
If I told you you would raise $1 million, would you find a way to spend it well?
Yes.
$2 million.
Yes. Yes. We are really short on homeless programs across our county. Many of our partners have walked away, so we're standing alone. Nobody, our largest shelter is a 13-bed shelter for 12 to 18-year-olds. Nobody in the county is serving that population except the Center for Youth. We have no emergency care for transitional older moms and babies. We have long-term care, but no short-term care. We have no place for our LGBT young people who are facing tremendous trauma. And we have no place for our trafficked young women who we, you know, the youngest victim was 11 years old last year. We have no place for them. So we're short on homeless shelters, on programs that support, and we would find a way to keep, we would add so much. Fashion Week is the way to do it.
One more thing for Elaine, and then I'm going to grab a phone call after our break, and then we'll talk a lot more fashion coming up. It was earlier this year, and I bet now it was maybe even as far back as February, when we had a conversation with a woman in Buffalo. In fact, our colleague Adam Chodak at Channel 8 had done a series of stories for WROC on human trafficking.
Yes.
And we met this woman from Buffalo.
Yes.
And after the program, Elaine is eventually someday she will get sharp with me or with others because, you know, she's a member of city council. She gets asked tough questions. That's fine. But she called just gently to say, the next time you talk human trafficking, just you might want to call Center for Youth.
Yes.
Because in that conversation, we just happened not to have Center for Youth on our radar because you said, you know, you wouldn't believe it, but we're right at the heart of what's going on there.
Yeah. So we do address and support our trafficked young people for the county. We run the county program. It's called Safe Harbor. New York State told us 3 years ago that if you're under 18, you're not going to be prosecuted as a defendant. You're going to be a victim. And then we had all these 87 victims identified, many of them trafficked by their own families in their own neighborhoods, and we are the only place that supports those young ones. So I wasn't trying to be snarky. I wanted you to do a comprehensive story, and we would love to come back and talk with you about that another time. But
we'll do that. But that's in the scope of what
that
gets
is
supported.
Definitely in the scope. Yeah, because one of the things that makes someone vulnerable to trafficking is homelessness.
All right. So let's talk about the events after we come back from our only break of the hour. You're hearing Elaine Spall, Executive Director of the Center for Youth, Megan Mundy, Chief Fashion Organizer for Fashion Week of Rochester, which is coming up October 10th through the 14th. And they have this massive new structure that they're going to start building next week, and you're going to see it rise right across from Midtown Athletic Club. That's going to be the home of Fashion Week, fashionweekofrochester.org. Effie Yomi is a fashion designer who's also here, and Sarah Wittberg, a mom, sharing her story of how she and her family and her daughter served by the Crisis Nursery, one of the beneficiaries. So let's get that break and come back with more conversation right here on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, we hear from different organizations who've been working on community land trust issues, what to do with vacant houses. You might have heard that City Hall announced a plan to knock down 175 vacant homes before the end of this fiscal year. They say enough is enough. Those kinds of properties are dragging down their neighborhoods in many ways. We'll talk to different stakeholders around Rochester. What do they think of the plan? Join us next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and Fashion Week of Rochester coming up October 10th through the 14th. This afternoon, tickets go on sale for the events, and we'll get you through that schedule coming up. Elaine, it is fashionweekofrochester.org, is that correct?
It is.
Okay, so that's where you can check it out. But let me grab a phone call, because Tom in Greece has been waiting to jump in with a question. Go ahead, Tom.
Thank you for taking my call. It's wonderful what Fashion Week is doing, raising money for the Crisis Nursery. That is a very good cause. But I was wondering, okay, there was something on the radio previously, the previous show, the 1A, was talking about a show that's going to be on tomorrow, and it's going to be about the New York fashion show. Now, the New York fashion show, according to the host of the 1A, has banned thin models. Each model has to have a certificate to prove that she is in good health.
Ah.
Now, there's this, I mean, I've never been to the Rochester Fashion Show. I don't know. I've never seen the models there. But, I mean, I wonder what his policy is, because for so long, I mean, we see these models on the runways. They look very thin. They think they have to have that thin look, underweight look, to model the latest fashions, and it's not healthy. It could encourage some girls to look, into eating disorders or something. There's been some discussion about that. I just wondered what the guest had to say about
Tom,
that.
Tom, thanks for the phone call. I think when he used the word thin a few times, I think he means dangerously underweight
right.
is what he means by that.
So, great question, and one of my most important things about Fashion Week was we are the inclusive Fashion Week, not the exclusive Fashion Week. So we use all shapes and sizes, and the philosophy that I had for this was, if you're sitting in the audience and watching a runway show, you want to look up as a normal size human being and say to yourself, I can wear that. I don't have to be real thin. We do casting calls in the community. We use real people, all sizes, and we celebrate healthy, well-adjusted people that, you know, want to just model and give their time. So we are a huge supporter of people not being real thin. And at one point, I had someone tell me that I should fly in models from Toronto and New York. And it's not our philosophy. Our philosophy is to celebrate all shapes and sizes and make everybody feel good.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, well said. And Tom, thanks for the phone call. Interesting question. And my head was down. I didn't even realize 1A was tackling that. But interesting, you're hearing Megan Mundy, who is the chief fashion organizer for Fashion Week of Rochester, which is coming up. But Megan has work and experience far beyond Rochester. And so that's a voice of experience. And I thought that was a very fair question. So thank you, Tom. Let's talk about the schedule coming up. So before we jump into Tuesday, October 10th, so it's the 10th through the 14th, Elaine mentioned what is it?
Yeah, so we have something called, it was called the Fashion Exchange. Now it's called Wheels and Deals, and I'm saying and some steel. So you show up at that superstructure, and you have a chance to shop shop with all kinds of sample sales and deals inside that structure, but also then get on your wheels, either on a limo or self-drive, and go to five different centers from Park Lee out to Pittsford, out to 12 Corners where Panache is, and look and then shop all over the city and really pick out your outfits and get ready for Fashion Week. One of the things that we know is the economic driver of Fashion Week. We don't talk about that as much, but honestly, we do get 10% back from our stores, and we know that when we get between $17,000 and $20,000 in revenue from these stores, that we're super starting the economic drive. We have small boutiques that started during Fashion Week, like Peppermint, that are now at the Culver Road Armory and doing great. So it's not just about fashion and the center. Actually, we are sparking a small business model. Our retailers, our designers, some of our young designers, and Effie is here, really got their start and found a way to get their fashion on a runway. And again, God bless Meg Mundy, because she's got the right philosophy. I don't think anybody could do what she's doing with fashion and also embrace the Center for Youth Mission the way she does. So that's been a real partnership.
When is the crawl?
The crawl is Thursday the 5th. And
Thursday,
you're
going to
show up at the Superstructure site.
Which is where?
Which is at 100 East Highland Drive, right behind Midtown Athletic. And you're going to see that. You're not going to be able to miss that spaceship-looking structure that's going to go up.
You are in the right spot.
You will know you're in the right spot, yeah.
All right, so that's October 5th.
That's October 5th. That's the Thursday before. And then we go into five runway shows, which Meg can tell you about, starting on Tuesday. We're adding a Tuesday show. And then,
all right, so let's kind of go through the schedule. And I think Effie's going to be able also kind of relate her experience and you know, how she views the value of Fashion Week. So let's go to Tuesday, October 10th. You're calling it Lead the Way.
So Lead the Way came about, again, sharing this philosophy of me being a transplant and how much I love this community. And we're going to celebrate people in the community and role models, if you would. So the role models mixed in with some teen fashion. We'll have nurses. We'll have advertising executives. We'll have superintendents of schools. And the audience will be filled with high school students who might get motivated by seeing these people. Mention three things. It's going to move quickly because the attention span might be short. And we'll have great music. And then in between the role models, you'll have great teen fashion. So we're going to go every other role models, 10 groups, and then teen fashion. So that's our new addition to kind of mix things up a bit this year.
And free for the teens.
Oh, yes,
Evan,
free.
We wanted to open our doors and have something free for young people.
So that's Lead the Way, Tuesday, October 10th, starting when, by the way?
That one starts at 5 o'clock. So right when the kids get out of school, they can come on over. And then after that show, they're free to talk to all these role models and maybe ask some questions and get inspired to think about a career.
Then you're bringing back Canine Chic.
Oh, man.
Canine Chic. I actually
had dogs are back.
Yeah,
the dogs
I had
are
my
back.
Dog at the press conference today, and this show proves to be really, really popular. And we did a doggy casting call. We got about 80 dogs. We've cast about 60. And Effie is going to be one of our designers. And she came, she reached out to me, and I really was almost full. And I thought, you know, can you do a collection for the dog show? And she was so flexible. She's doing a beautiful collection, and she's doing some kind of coordinating things for the dogs as well. So that show is just so fun.
Effie, you got to tell us. So what are you doing for the dogs?
I'm going to try to make some bandana scarves, little cute things for them. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about your design background.
Well, I've been wanting to design since I was 11, so I pretty much it just came about one day because I also wanted to do art. And since while I was doing art, I decided, let me just draw, clothes on them. Well, making the clothes was more important to me than actually the drawings. So I told my parents, I want to become a designer at 11. And so I pretty much just stuck with it. And it's like, it's not even a habit or something. I just woke up and say, I want to do that because it looks cool. It's just, always been with me, so even if I try running away from it and saying, I don't want to do this anymore, it's kind of hard. So then after art school, I decided to focus more on learning design and fashion, and I just really loved it, so that's why.
And Meg, how did you get hooked up with Effie for this?
So Effie reached out to me via email, and as I said, I was like, oh shoot, my shows are kind of full. But then she was telling me how she's from the Ivory Coast in Africa, and she said, you know, I might be going back next year. And I thought, gosh, I really want to give this young woman a chance. And so I said, come down to the Fashion Week office and meet us. And she just came in, and she was just so sweet and so easy to work with. And I just said, let's find a spot for you. And then when I told her it was going to be with the dog, she was pretty flexible about that. And so then I asked her, she only does men's women's fashion. And I had one man that wanted to walk his dog. I'm like, can you do a guy's shirt? And she said, yes. Yeah. So it was kind of all about being flexible and being agreeable and being incredibly, incredibly sweet. So
how do you do a guy's shirt when you haven't done one?
You learn it, I guess, along the way. I mean, you won't know how to do something until you do it. So I'm always willing to just learn something new.
And did you want to press some boundaries here? Do you want to tell us a little bit about what we're going to see?
I don't really know yet. Like, I like surprising myself. I mean, I'm pretty eclectic, mm-hmm. kind of designer, so I guess maybe I want to bring some of Africa and some of like the history of different things that influenced me, and I'm not sure. I just eventually it'll just come together.
Okay.
For me.
And what would you like to do long term, and where do you want to work long term?
Long term, I'd like to probably work in Rochester because I love Rochester. I'd probably want to travel, but at the end, I always want to come back here and maybe open a boutique or something. But yeah.
Well, that's great. Are you excited to be part of Fashion Week?
Oh, I'm very excited. I was so excited when I found out that there was a Fashion Week. And so when I sent her an email, and I didn't know if she was, because she said, we're actually filming. Like, oh, okay, well, maybe it's not going to coordinate. And then she's like, oh, by the way, can you do the Wednesday show? I'm like, oh, my gosh, yes. And I was so happy. And she's such a nice person, so
thank you.
She is, because like I'm not very like kind of I'm more of like an introvert,
more shy,
introvert. Yeah. So yeah. Like, but she's so nice, and like she made me feel really comfortable and really like I can really do this, and I'm glad that I'm gonna be around other fashion people, because like Rochester. I remember I did a short intern with Peppermint Boutique, mm-hmm. and I think her name is Tanvi.
Tanvi,
yeah. She's so nice. Oh, my gosh. She's like, the first day I met her, she was like, oh, do you want soup? What do you want? Do this? I'm like, oh, my gosh, this lady is so nice. Like, fashion people are just so amazing, and to be in that atmosphere where, like, I didn't realize existed too much is gonna be really amazing.
Well, I hope you have great fun with it. And to be clear here, when you see Effie's stuff on Wednesday, October 11th for Fashion Week of Rochester in the Canine Chic Show, that may be like the most popular show of the week, Elaine. That's a big deal.
We got dog lovers. You know, I am not known to be a dog lover because I'm so crazy about children. And you've got people who are lining up, and I know when those tickets go on sale. Those going to be dog lovers, and we're so grateful for them. And
I pictured you with small dogs.
No dogs.
Meticulously dressed, wearing little booties, walking through snow with very high-pitched voices.
No dogs.
No dogs.
No dogs. Just
See,
babies.
Never ever assume.
Just babies. But I have to tell you, as a politician, you have to be nice to dogs when you walk door to door. So I
you find it in your heart.
You find it in your heart.
And,
yeah.
And so, okay, for those who might want to come out for Canine Chic Night.
Yes, Wednesday.
You got to get tickets?
You got to get tickets. Get them fast. They're going to go on sale today. Meg's going to tell you about Thursday. Thursday is going to be one of her best shows. And
it's called Walk and Roll, Thursday, October 12th. And again, all of the whole schedule here, tickets go on sale at the end of this hour. So this afternoon, you can start getting tickets to Fashion Week of Rochester, putting the spotlight on youth homelessness and benefit for the Center for Youth and all of the programs that they run. Fashionweekofrochester.org, Thursday, October 12th, Walk and Roll.
So Walk and Roll is it was born from last year when I did a half pipe at the end of the runway and included skateboarders. And it was such a huge success that I thought, okay, I need to now include roller skaters and BMX bikes. And so there's going to be just a lot of activity on the runway. And having a husband that's incredibly supportive of me since I started this and of missing time with me, he always gives me his observation. And he said, you know, Meg, for the guys in the audience, it's nice when you have activity on the runway. And I found that to be true. So we have some disco roller skaters, we have BMX bikes, and it's just going to be full of activity and full of surprises. A lot of designers that are just here in Rochester starting out. Sage Cruz, who's doing an incredible line of painted clothing. Looks like Jackson Pollock did the painting, and he's really talented. So that show will just really, really be one of my favorites.
Thursday, October 12th.
I just ask something very, very quickly. So our firefighters are back. And I just want to say they were amazingly popular. I almost said smoking hot, but I stopped myself. Actually, so I didn't stop myself. But anyway.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Sarah wants to come Thursday night.
I'm coming Thursday night. All right.
So they are so much fun. And, of course, we love our firefighters. We're so grateful to them. They're going to be in the Thursday night show.
That's right. Actually, we wanted to move them to the Saturday night show because last year they were on the Wednesday show, and that was our first show, and the reaction was so huge. I thought, oh my God, how are we going to top this? This is the first show. I mean, we just had our best show. How are we going to top this? So I wanted to move them to Saturday, but this year it's the Fireman's Ball on October 14th. So out of respect, we moved them to Thursday because we couldn't possibly put them in the Friday show because that's when we have a lot of kids and stuff, and they're just too... the attention that they get is just really fun.
Okay,
and
a little distracting, it sounds like.
Slightly.
Walk and Roll is Thursday, October 12th. We've got 2.5 minutes to get through the last two. Friday, okay. October 13th, in Fashion Week of Rochester is Runway to Rochester. Meg?
So Runway to Rochester, we celebrate the people in our community. We have Channel 10 newscasters. We have dads and babies in front carriers or back carriers, dads walking with babies. We have grandmothers and grandsons. We have all kinds of children's fashion. It's so fun to put the kids on the runway because they blossom and it makes them feel so good. They feel a little scared. And then when they get off the run, they say, can I do it again, Meg? Can I do it again? And it's the cutest thing. We have twins. That's just a feel good, big hug of a show. And then the final look is just as it sounds. It's the finale. It's a big show for couples. People get dressed up. It usually ends with people dancing on the runway and becomes a big party. I love that show because it's the last of five shows and I can actually let my hair down a little bit and exhale. Every show is good if you can come to all of them.
That's Saturday,
terrific.
October 14th, the
yes,
final look. And they say, join us for a night out in Rochester from wedding to dance to lingering. A lingerie.
Oh,
well,
yes.
Whatever. I've got all kinds of stuff.
Lingering yes. to lingerie. That's
yes.
right.
Yes. That is the final look there. Tickets on sale coming up this afternoon now.
On Eventbrite, fashionweekofrochester.org. And so easy to do. Just sign right up. And Evan, I just want to tell you that on behalf of all of us at the center, and certainly Meg and I at Fashion Week, we could not be more grateful. So deeply appreciative for this community to believe in us, to come have fun with us, to walk the runway with us, and to help our children and our families, and there's nothing quite like it. So please come. Would love to talk to him, Meg, about Lead the Way, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And we can tell you where to get leather pants, too.
Yes, yes. And Effie, you're brilliant, sweetheart. Thank you. Thank you. And, of course, our sweet Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah, I've got 30 seconds. Why don't you have the final word and just
I have the final word.
Why this matters more to you than you probably would have realized in the past. As a mom who has benefited from this, what's the message you'd want our listeners to have here?
This program can benefit everybody. That's the final word. It's a giant umbrella of connection, connecting people with fashion, dogs, mothers, fathers, everything. And if it could get anybody to get you to wear a vest, a leather vest, then I think it, you know, it'd be pretty worth it.
I did wear a green sequin vest in high school. I just want to mention.
There's never a wrong place to wear sequins.
Do you still have it?
Good.
Did you have that?
I don't. I burned it. But shout out to Show Choir, Westlake High School, 1996. Jazz hands. I retired my jazz hands and sequin vest, but maybe a leather vest this Fashion Week. Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Fashionweekofrochester.org. Wonderful to meet you, Effie, Sarah. Great to see you. Good luck to you. As always, thank you, Elaine.
Thank you.
And Sarah, continued good health to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, much more connections coming up.
Thank you.